You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
And I'd like to welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM, Ms. Sarah Maynard and Mr. Joshua Hossain. Thank you so much for joining us here today to talk about a very special, special drive. The Animal Aid Drive and the TTSPCA will be unfortunately closing its doors. And we're trying our best to see how we could raise funds to stop that from happening. So welcome, Ms. Maynard. She is the TTSPCA Operations Manager. And it's unfortunate that we have to meet under these circumstances. But welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. Ms. Maynard?
Hi. Morning. Unfortunately, I'm not hearing you.
Are you not hearing me?
No, I can barely hear you. So let me see what I could do here. Hold on 1 second.
Because we are hearing you loud and clear. All right. Well,
okay. I'm barely hearing you, but let's see how this goes.
Okay. Well, as you sort that out, let me speak with Mr. Hossain, who is the chairman of the Love Company. Good morning to you, Mr. Hossain. How are you?
Good morning, Oscar. Good morning to Trinidad and Tobago.
So tell me about the Love Company and what your role would be in the animal aid venture that you're doing.
So the Love Company is an amalgamation of the leadership of many NGOs in Trinidad and Tobago. We tackle a broad range of issues, but one of them is street animals, their rights, and the plight that they face. We've worked in other organizations with the TSPCA now for about 4 years. And we recently concluded our most recent drive where we donated 36,000 pounds of aid to the hurricane barrel victims, the animal victims, mm-hmm. and 14,500 pounds to local shelters through TSPCA. I think we helped about 38 other organizations across the Twin Islands with the aid that we delivered. Now, the TSPCA for over 100 years now has worked tirelessly to deal with the issues of the animals. And I thought that as an organization that was meant to help all causes in Trinidad and Tobago, there was really no better cause to pick up.
So in this effort, your mission is to basically prevent TTSPCA from closing their doors, because according to the information that I was given, they may close August, September. Is that correct, Ms. Maynard?
Okay. Can you hear me now? I can still barely hear you, but I can hear you.
Yes, we can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. Right. So while obviously we are trying our hardest to prevent that, but currently, and I mean, I have to say we've had an overwhelming show of support from members of the public, especially Joshua and the Love Company. They have come out and they have been advocating for us and helping us with donations of chow, along with other animal welfare organizations. And we have seen some support coming in as well as members of the public from the corporate sector. So, as I said, we are hoping that this does not happen. But when we put out that interview about a week ago, that is what we were looking at. We were looking at September as far as our funds were concerned. Mm-hmm. So we are hoping that government will step in and give us the needed funds to keep the doors open, basically. What we need is a commitment from government every year of a certain amount to make sure that we stay open. That obviously we do fundraising and other events, and there are small contributions towards our services. But we do need that from government, because at the moment, TTSPCA handles a lot of the stuff that is mandated by government that they're not doing. We handle a lot of things in relation to companion animals.
Association, so that there isn't much interaction? Or do you find that as you said, with this call, people are now realizing what the organization is all about?
I think it's a mixed bag. I suppose if, you know, I see it,
Ms. Maynard, are you still there? Okay, so we're having a little problem with your audio. Mr. Hossain, can you tell us about what exactly the Love Company is doing in terms of this new drive for specifically for the TTSPCA?
Well, it was a two-part plan that we had. Number one was just to give them enough raw material in order to continue operating.
Well, technique.
And the long-term idea that we have is we want to bring all of the organizations together, start to speak with one voice, become funded from one source, and basically eradicate the plight of the street animals.
So what other organizations have you collaborated with in terms of the Love Company to do those things?
Well, we had a shout-out to our main sponsors, the Nice Plumber Foundation, National Flour Mills, Vemco TT, amazing people, the Mute Foundation, and a couple others whose names must be slipping me at the moment. I apologize. I am on the road.
Yes, yeah.
National Flour Mills, Josh.
Yes, Flour Mills, Vemco are the two main providers of seed.
Yes.
So is it going to be like an actual day of events that you'll be doing in terms of this drive, or is it, as you say, you just made a clarion call to get organizations and the government involved to make sure that the TTSPCA remains open?
Well, we have concluded this drive. We just last week did £14,500, which should be a couple months worth of stock for the 38 organizations that are in Trinidad and Tobago. But we are working on getting them together, having a meeting, bringing the organizations together, bringing the government to them, having a proposal of a budget that would allow for smooth operating of a national coordinated plan for all of the street animals.
Because according to the man on the street, you see a striving population of stray dogs and cats, especially in Port of Spain. I remember that there was one young lady who was trying to at least keep them safe, feed them, give them water, and she made the news in trying to highlight their plight. And the TTSPCA was mentioned within that too. How come they weren't more vocal in that respect? But I want Ms. Maynard to talk about that as well, to make TNT understand what your role would have been in that kind of situation.
I could tell you, because we actually took in two of the dogs. One of them was a very heavily pregnant dog, and she had her puppies at the shelter and they were rehomed. Mm-hmm. And another one was a three-legged dog that she was caring for, and that dog was homed last week. His name is Lego.
So
his leg is gone. Mm-hmm. we do that. I mean, the thing is that people feel that TTSPC is a pound and it's government run, which is not the case. It's a animal welfare organization, a charity, and it has limited resources from manpower, obviously, to funding. Mm-hmm. So that we do the best that we can. If we get a call out about animals in distress, like I just before I came into this interview, I got a call out about a dog in Arima, and that has been run over and the back legs are broken. It's outside someone's house. Mm-hmm. We are organizing private transportation to a vet clinic for that dog, because our van is actually dealing with San Fernando this morning, because there's just nothing else available. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing in the country. We're the only open admission shelter that is available. There are no pounds. There's one pound run by government that's in San Fernando that is severely lacking. In fact, the TTSPCA for the last few months have been sending food to that pound.
In reality, that pound should be closed. Those animals are better on the street. That pound should be charged.
Well, this is an interesting perspective, because in terms of how, of course, we always like to compare to the U.S. system, right? There are kill shelters, and then there are ready-to-adopt shelters, and then there are foster care and all of that. What What is lacking here in Trinidad and Tobago as it compares to that system that would be more of an advocate for the animals rather than instant, like, for example, kill shelters, where you just grab the dogs and then that's...
Well, I don't like to use the word term kill shelters because, you know, what they are is open admission shelters where there is a possibility of euthanasia.
Mm-hmm.
And a sanctuary, in point and a fact, you talk about sanctuaries, a sanctuary in point and a fact is saying that I am dealing with the animals that I have under my care. And if I'm full, I turn away people. And what happens to those animals, I don't know. You know, and if you think someone is going to suddenly change their mind about dumping animals that they don't want, that's not the case. So they have just decided, well, this is what I'm caring for, and that is it.
Mm-hmm.
An open admission shelter is there to prevent the suffering of animals, be it humane euthanasia or be it taking them in. That is the reality of an open admission shelter. And we use the US as an example, but I've been friendly for about 15 years with a person who, from PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. And I get a lot of their, every month I get their statistics about the, what we term the no-kill movement.
Mm-hmm.
And it's shocking. It's actually shocking as to what people will term a sanctuary and what I would term hoarding. So it depends.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying that is the case with sanctuaries here, but you know, there's a thin line. There's a very thin line. I think as all animal welfare, anybody in animal welfare, their objective must be to prevent cruelty,
mm-hmm.
and to prevent suffering. And if that does mean humane euthanasia, you know, it's unfortunate. Nobody wants that. But it is a reality of stray animal management. If you look at any of the documents that are involved and any of the organizations involved in stray animal management, that is a factor. That is a factor. Whether we want to believe it, we want to agree with it or not, that is the reality. And where you have a situation, as Joshua says, in Trinidad, where you have a pound that is not functioning, you have only two corporations that partially pick up animals in Trinidad and Tobago, you have a problem. And we have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And what we don't have at the moment is something like rabies. But if we get that, because our borders are not as they should be, we will be in trouble. In a lot of trouble.
Yes,
and,
Maynard, please finish. Mr. Hussain was trying to interject what you wanted to say, Mr. Hussain.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to champion what Sarah was saying, because the reason that we want to get everyone together is we're all divided in this. I don't want to call it an industry, but... In the animal welfare society, we're all in different little pockets. You have three large shelters. I will say, first of all, just to come on Sarah's point, nobody wants to euthanize any animal. At the end of the day, the goal of all these organizations is to rehome and rehabilitate all street animals. Unfortunately,
100%.
We do have
problems. We should switch it up.
For a very uneducated population to buy animals when they are young and reject them when they are adults.
Mm.
So we're ending up with a lot of people that like puppies but don't want a dog.
And the thing is, the breeds that they do purchase may or may not be appropriate for a climate such as Trinidad and Tobago or a place as in a TNT. And then they have the laws where you have to have muzzles and so on. I don't think that they really thought it through in terms of certain breeds. You know, what is your take on that?
Well,
me personally, I own huskies. People usually say that huskies are the main dog they shouldn't have in Trinidad. But if you consult any vet, they will tell you that them and a German Shepherd is roughly the same thing.
The same thing. Mm-hmm.
And all of these breeds that have standard deformities, like pugs and bulldogs and all these other animals, they have worse breeding problems than the average wolf breed. But I mean, you know, it's for everybody's discernment as to what they want. I wanted us, yeah, particularly because there's no aggression in the dog for a few months.
Mm-hmm.
It was bred out of them. They were a sled dog. They were a community dog.
Yeah. So, from our perspective, I mean, Josh is right. You know, the short-faced dogs that everybody wants, the lap dogs like pugs, they suffer badly in this climate. And we've actually seen dumping of the short-faced dogs. And we've seen, he mentioned deformities. I mean, recently I went up to investigate a situation with the police. And I mean, I was horrified as to the bullies that were bred. I mean, to say they were deformed was an understatement. I don't know how they even stood up.
That is
what happens. And we have seen, post-COVID, we have seen a lot of dumping of purebreds, a lot of dumping. We had like a phase where it was Dalmatians, then Malinois, then Huskies, you know, Shepherds. We have seen it because people are thinking, okay, I'll take a dog, I'll get a breeding pair, I'll make money, and it just doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I, you know, what Joshua wants to do, and I commend him for it, is he wants to bring the larger animal welfare organizations together, because I think we can all have common ground on certain things when it comes to spay neuter, when it comes mm-hmm. to alleviating suffering of animals in regards to how they're treated, and bring them together. Education is another factor. It's very important to educate the community and members of the public, starting from primary school. We,
yeah,
both the TTSPCA and the Animal Welfare Network, who I'm part of, they have a primary school education program in which we go to schools, educate children on how to treat animals and also safety. That's a big factor, because when you have a population that is breeding pit bulls and they do not know how to look after them, and they lock them in kennels and they chain them, you have a ticking time bomb.
Yeah, I mean, with anxiety and confinement and, yeah, not giving them a job to do.
In the last month, we've dealt with two severe bite cases of children in which nothing has happened under the Dog Control Act with their owners, and the animals are still there. And, I mean, in one case, this little girl was bitten. The bite barely missed her spine. She's terrified, and she lives in a compound where the animal is still there, and the owner refuses to give up the animal.
Now, just,
so, I mean,
that is another topic altogether that we should really get into in terms of education of the type of breeds, and then the education of how to care for the breeds, and then information on how the legislation works. From the perspective of the TTSPCA, those are the services that are provided by y'all, or do we need more like an association for dog trainers so that many owners can understand and find that resource? Yes, Mr. Hussain.
Okay. Ladies, I don't know if y'all are hearing me.
Go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Hussain, go ahead.
Right. I just wanted to touch on a topic that Sarah was just talking about before we moved on. Part of what we want to do is legislative as well.
Yes.
And it's going to sound harsh and difficult, but it should be illegal to own an unregistered companion animal. You should have to register every dog to its owner via microchip. And if we took the perspective as a country at the governmental level of making it free to list your dogs, give them a moratorium, 6 months, all unregistered animals are either rehomed or euthanized. Automatically, in that 6 months, you have no more unregistered animals. And then you can't have abused animals. You can't have animals attacking people. You can't have stray animals, because the chip in that animal is registered to somebody who is going to get charged.
And they will have to be held accountable and responsible for the animal.
Exactly. And most people that will say, oh, well, you know, that takes away from my freedoms and so on. You have to be crazy. And at the end of the day, if you do not want your animal registered safely to you, that if your animal is lost, it can be returned to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want to be liable for your animal, you should not own an animal.
I agree with you. Miss Maynard, any other tips on that?
Well, Yeah, so what Joshua's talking about is a national registry, and that's actually one of the things that the TTSPC was advocating for when they decided to do the Dog Control Act in 2014, and they chose only specific breeds. Mm-hmm. We were saying, look, why are you, you know, wasting time, money, and resources? You should do a national registry, and everybody, you pay a minimum fee, and everybody registers their animal. That way, there's a certain control over breeding. There's a certain control over how an animal is kept. There are many factors into that. But going back to what you were saying as to what the TTSPCA offers, you know, we run a place that is a temporary shelter for animals. We offer low-cost spay-neuter services. We have an education program jointly with Animal Welfare Network. We take in lost or abandoned or unwanted animals. But what we find our resources are being drained on are the things that we're actually not mandated to do that we are ended up doing, such as cruelty cases, dealing with Class A animals that are and situations in which people call us and say, listen, I've been bitten, or X, Y, and Z is the case. We also deal with animals that perhaps someone has treated them badly. We've taken them out of their home. By some means, sometimes the police have taken them, and we then have huge vet bills. But the facts are that the Dog Control Act is not enforced. We are currently, I have to say, sitting on a committee in which the enforcement of the Dog Control Act is being looked at. But there is another act which has just been passed, which is the Health and Importation Act, and there's an amended section to that, and that deals with animal cruelty. And we are waiting for 4 years.
And some useful ones have to be added. Example, automatic 10 years if found with a gun, and 1 year for every round of ammunition.
A committee in which we develop the standards for keeping animals, companion animals, horses, all, you know, across the board. And we assume that within a couple of years, regulations would be developed. Because without regulations, the police don't know how to proceed with these cases. So people can literally get away with cruelty.
If I can stick it.
Yeah.
On the subject of the regulation, the fact that it takes more than 6 months for draft legislation is absolutely ridiculous. We are not the first country in the world to have a stray animal and street animal problem. So why is it that we cannot adapt from a first world country, which has hundreds of years more history than ours? Why can't we adapt their legislation, pass it through our parliament, educate our security services, and get this into law?
Now, they would say that consultations need to be had with all interest groups, but when you do call for those consultations, not many people show up. And
well,
And the thing is, I think it's because that it is profitable at this point in time to do a lot of breeding in terms of certain breeds of dogs. Mm-hmm. You know, when you ask for like $3,000, $4,000 for a puppy, you could understand why that is a lucrative business and why certain things seem to not be attended to. But in that scenario, as you said, there are many dogs that are either brought in with ill health, abandoned, or the owners are not fully aware of what it takes to take care of the animal, and then they are abandoned. Now, what other things, and the thing is, we're only speaking about dogs. We haven't spoken about cats as yet. And cats is another issue. You know, many kittens you see all over, and different breeds. It's another...
There's nothing in place for cats.
Classified as a pet.
It is not classified as a pet.
It should be classified
as a pet. It's an invasive species.
Yes, because it hunts.
Wow. Okay, that's interesting.
Trinidad and Tobago has the most diverse species of birds on this side of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
We are a world-renowned bird-watching place. Now, cats hunt birds.
Mm.
So put that together.
Well, you call it an invasive species, which is so...
We call them companion animals because obviously cats have become companion animals to us. But when you look at it, they also referred to as an invasive species because you have free roaming cats out there. And, you know, the facts are that they are dumping sites in Trinidad and Tobago where they have huge populations of birds. And those are also dumping sites for cats. And there's nothing in place for cats. So you will have people that feed cats. And I mean, you know, I understand that. I understand that you're seeing these animals and they're starving, and your instinct is to feed to feed these cats because you don't want to see them suffer. And but the reality of cats is they breed three times a year. They kill wildlife if they're allowed to roam. And they're prolific breeders, and they're prolific survivors. So many of the litter will survive. There is a high percentage of death, but when you look at it in terms of how many times they breed a year, soon in an area, if you have someone feeding two or three cats in an area, suddenly you realize, we get these calls all the time, that there's a population of 20 or 30 cats in that area. And people are like, well, what do we do? You know, this person's feeding and we have all these cats, and there's nothing in place. There's nothing in place to take these animals in. So what happens is people take matters into their own hands and they poison. And it's a terrible thing. They will poison the cats.
Unfortunately, an unchecked population of stray cats can cause certain ecosystem collapses, particularly small prey animals.
And disease as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, disease is a huge factor, and that is what we tried to say. And, you know, when I talk to certain people and I hear animal welfare, you know, I say, is animal welfare on the burner? And they go, well, animal welfare is not even on a burner at this point in time, you know, as because there are other more important things. And I think, well, actually, no, we've just gone through COVID, and it's just shown you potentially what animals could do.
Yes.
We have bird flu in the States. You know, there are diseases that can skip into the human population very, very quickly, and as I said, rabies is one of them, and if left unchecked, and if you don't have facilities in place and you don't put animal welfare on the agenda, you could end up with serious problems happening in your country.
Let's look at the other side of it. Let's look at the other side of it for a minute, because from COVID as well, you did see the positive side where these animals was a source of emotional support, systems that helped a lot of people, you know, navigate through the tough times that is COVID. There were a lot of service animals that came to the fore, great stories of them, you know, alerting and all that kind of thing. How can we, looking at the stray population that exists in Trinidad and Tobago, probably guide these animals into that system? Is it possible?
Well, I mean, it depends.
Usually,
sorry, Josh, you go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, usually any working animal is developed from the puppy stage. Most working animals are selected via genetics. If parent dogs display certain behavioral patterns, their puppies tend to also, or kittens would tend to, they don't really see a service cat. But in terms of service dogs, particular bloodlines are best for different things. So I would say that it's not really possible to get adult dogs into that system, maybe as like comfort dogs, but in terms of things like for the blind or for people who have different types of seizures and so on, it usually comes from a puppy.
So,
The other thing is that, you know, playing on what Josh just said, is that if you don't handle a puppy by the time it's 12 weeks old, the likelihood of that puppy being feral or semi-feral is very high.
Mm-hmm.
So handling of animals is extremely important. So when you have a population of stray dogs, a lot of them that come into the shelter, if they're trapped or they're caught, you can't actually handle them. And so what do you do with an animal that you can't handle, you know, or that screams if you touch it, or sits in a corner, or becomes fair aggressive? It's a really difficult situation. And going back to what you said about people adopting at COVID, there's an international trend. I mean, we've seen it with us. Yes, people adopted animals during COVID because they were home and they thought, okay, this is something I can do. And we were also very grateful for the people that took in animals and fostered for us, because that was amazing, and that helped us clear the shelters during that time when we had to regulate staff. And but after post COVID, massive amounts of dumping. I've been in this over 30 years, and I have seen the worst amount of dumping in the last year that I've ever seen it in all the years. And I have seen that internationally. When you look at, you hear from other organizations around the world, they saw that. They saw a massive increase in dumping, and they also saw a massive decrease in funding for animal shelters around the world. So what the TTSPC is experiencing is not just with us. It is internationally.
So
yes.
At this point in time... This me a free, right, yes, so don't pack me need.
Money. If I could
stick my neck in. Yes, sure, Mr. Hussain.
Yes. Temporarily funding, and I mean the population has stepped in.
Yeah.
But just to bring everything full circle, the reason that we are all collaborating and coming together, we're standing by for a meeting date.
Yes.
We want to propose to the government a real framework that, if applied, it starts off with a mass catch campaign, spay and neuter campaign, implementation of legislation that would allow us to register dogs and cats, and then a funding of the shelters, because the government does not provide these services. Private Trinidad and Tobago is willing, but it needs the support.
And education. And the other thing is, you know, to what Josh is saying, we're not, you know, government shouldn't rely on, we can do a part as a private organization, but government also needs to step in and get their situation organized in regards to facilities and humanely run facilities that people can take unwanted animals to, as well as units, I mean, you know, animal catching. So there's a collaborative, there needs to be a collaborative thinking and efforts. And as Josh said, you know, I think taking the first step and getting some of these NGOs together to meet and discuss things that we can all agree on, like education, spay neuter, I think that is a first step into hopefully making progress when it comes to animal welfare in Trinidad and Tobago, because it's just been too long.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're seeing in Trinidad is, you know, Tobago is mirrored. And in fact, it's worse because there's even less people out there that are helping animals. I mean, there's TTSPCA.
Are there shelters that are specific to Tobago? Because I only know of TTSPCA in Trinidad here. I'm unaware of those for Tobago.
There's TTSPCA in Tobago as well. And they are doing the best that they can. They are also struggling. And then you have organizations, which are smaller organizations, which are run by one person, Venus Doggess of Love, that is run by Elsbeth Duncan. She assists animals on, she with spay neuter. She runs projects. The TTSPCA and Venus, they do spay neuter projects once a year. Mm-hmm. And which people are offered free or low cost space to try and keep that population down, but it is a real struggle in Tobago. There are a lot of organizations in Trinidad. Well, when I say a lot of individuals and a few organizations that are trying to help animals, but in Tobago the situation is even more dire. There's maybe two or three for the most that are dealing with companion animals.
And so in terms of sanctuaries,
that is an issue.
For those who cannot be rehabilitated at all, how many sanctuaries are there available in Trinidad and Tobago?
Three.
So I think registered definitely. I know there's Animals Alive. There's also Animals Defense. I think there's maybe another one that an individual runs. I don't know if it's sanctuary or it borders on sanctuary and open admission. It depends because it's run by an individual. But there's not a lot. And if you call them, they will tell you, I'm sorry, I can't take and I'm full.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's a fact, because they are full. In fairness to them, they are full. They are full and they are struggling as well. So it's not a good situation that you have to have humane government-run facilities. And I stress the word humane, humane government facilities operating with oversight from NGOs to ensure that they remain humane
and up to standard. Now, Mr. Hussain, I wanted to ask you, how do we get in contact with the organizations that you're working with, along with the TTSPCA, for those who want to volunteer, for those who want to offer services? If, let's say, there's a vet that would like to offer a few hours on the weekend to come and check the animals, or a trainer. You know, these there are many trainers that are coming out now that have a program to get these animals in, into at least adoptable states. How do they get in touch with you?
I would say that the best way is always through the TTSPCA. They have the most diverse boots on the ground. We tend to work by crowdfunding for them.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't provide any services to any of the NPOs we work for or work with, other than crowdfunding of money and supplies.
All right. And
Which is essential.
Yes.
Right. I mean, Josh is underplaying what he does. I mean, what he does is essential, because that is really what we need. We need people that are, that will advocate for us and help us and support us. We need support systems. As far as veterinary care, we are very, very lucky. We have two vets that work with the TTSPCA that care for our animals. And one vet is a shelter veterinarian. And she also teaches the UE Veterinary School of Medicine about shelter medicine. And the other vet runs our low-cost spay clinic. As far as training, we have Mark Wingassen, who's Dog Point. He comes in and he will also help us assess animals that we have at the shelter and work with them. And we're partnering with Animal Welfare Network and Passports for Pottowns, in which animals from the TTSPC and on are flown overseas to Canada, to England, to the USA.
This is Freedom 106.5 FM. Miss Maynard, I see you're back. Do you hear me?
Yes. Sorry about that. I live in a place where the signal comes and goes because I'm surrounded by trees and a river and all the rest of it, and hills.
Not a problem. Yeah. I was trying to get the contact information for the TTSPCA so that anyone who's willing to contribute at this time after hearing the interview can get in contact with you. Do you like to leave some numbers with us?
Sure. You can call the office at 622-1367
mm-hmm.
or 628-1615. And I'm always available. You can always WhatsApp me if you want to donate or if you have issues. You can WhatsApp me. Don't call me, but you can WhatsApp me at 689-7661.
And for those who are willing to volunteer as well.
Don't make it a 3 o'clock in the morning call, although I am up. But I get that every now and again.
No. You have to make sure I'm putting the boundaries, because there are some who may take advantage. But you're quite good in doing that.
I've had calls at 4 in the morning saying, are you open for viewing? And I'm like, no, not yet. Check me in 4 hours.
Oh, dear. Well, this is a testimony to the type of work that you do and the type of energies that you put in. So we want to congratulate you and keep on doing the great work. And let's hope that we can save the TTSPCA.
And I really appreciate you having both Joshua and myself on and, letting us talk about animal welfare, because I think it's a topic that needs to be discussed and it's not a topic that is often brought up.
Mm-hmm.
So I really, really appreciate that and appreciate Freedom 106. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much for joining me and for coming back as well. Take care.
Thank you. Take care. Bye. Thank you very much.
This is Freedom 106.5 FM. And if it is that you have other tips and other questions for, you know, the TTSPCA and, of course, animal welfare, you can send it to 306-1065 and it will be something that we discuss as well, because these animals don't have a voice and we are here to give them that voice. And, of course, this is the place where you speak your mind as well. So tell us what you think is necessary to save our four-legged friends. Yeah?
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.